Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives. And we pray this all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and today is known in the church calendar as Good Shepherd Sunday. So today we're going to discuss Jesus both as the Lamb and as the Good Shepherd. Last week, we discussed Revelation 4 and 5. And we entered into the worship in the heavenly realm that's happening all the time, every day, the worship that never ceases. In his vision, John described 24 elders, along with four apocalyptic creatures, joining together with every creature on earth, every creature above, on, under the earth, and in the seas, all of them together worshiping the Lamb who was standing as though it had been slain. And they cried out together, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." Him on the throne being the Father, Almighty God, and the Lamb being Jesus. Today, in our reading from Revelation chapter 7, if you want to turn and look at it, we glimpse another heavenly scene through St. John's eyes. In verse 9, John says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one can number." He looked and he sees this great multitude who in verse 10 were crying out with a loud voice. So as they cried out, let's cry out together with a loud voice. "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This multitude joins in the never-ceasing heavenly worship of Almighty God and of the conquering Lamb. And their worship continues with verse 12, where I invite you to say it with me. "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Now, this multitude that joins in the worship is not anonymous, but the multitude is identified as a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes, all people groups, all languages, who together are praising God and praising the Lamb. This is a picture that reveals the success of the spread of the gospel. If you have any doubt, you can doubt no longer. Jesus, after his resurrection, commanded his disciples and his church to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that Jesus said. And through John's eyes, we get a glimpse of the future. And it reveals that the good news of Jesus has reached every nation, every tribe, every people group, and every language. It also reveals that in heaven, everyone doesn't speak English. It's a good thing for us to remember. Every language proclaiming together. Jesus as the Lamb is the conquering King. He's also seen in the book of Revelation as the triumphant rider of the white horse, who twice appears. He appears in Revelation 6, which we did not read. We skipped it, Revelation 7, but he appears in Revelation 19, where we read this. "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. This is the conquering king on the white horse, and this is the image of the king that the Jews were looking for, a conquering Messiah who would slay their enemies, who would dethrone the Romans, and who would establish God's kingdom and God's rule on earth. And that image of a conquering king is not how Jesus appeared to them, as he, God the Son, took on flesh in his incarnation, as he began his ministry, and as he initiated the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus was a humble servant. He did not conquer with military might, but he conquered with his humble obedience to the Heavenly Father, as he fulfilled all prophecy that had been given about the Messiah. The people at that time were looking for a strong warrior who would conquer the Roman oppressors. We're looking at the first century. So they looked for a conqueror, and Jesus instead preached. He healed. He welcomed those even serving Rome as tax collectors. Jesus did not slay Israel's enemies, but he humbled himself. He walked in obedience to God the Father's plan unto death on the cross, and then returning in his glorious resurrection. I turn now to our gospel reading from John chapter 10. In this reading, we witness the people's perplexity about Jesus in our reading. Wasn't sure if perplexity was a word, but spell check didn't correct it, so I'm going with it. This is Good Shepherd Sunday, and each year we have a 3-year lectionary. Each year we hear a portion of John chapter 10, the Good Shepherd. In the first part, which we will read next year, Jesus is the door of the sheep. He's not the thief. He's the door unto salvation. In the second part, which we read last year at this Good Shepherd Sunday, Jesus is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Today we read from the third part of John chapter 10. And between the first teaching about Jesus being the door and Jesus being the Good Shepherd, some time has passed. We read in verse 22, it's at the time of the Feast of Dedication. What holiday is that on the Jewish calendar? Hanukkah. Somebody got it. Hanukkah is the feast remembering the rededication of the Second Temple, the Feast of Dedication. And Hanukkah is also a feast celebrating the hope of the Jewish people for a conquering king. During the season of Hanukkah, all Jews remembered the great leaders of their past. During the 8-day festival, they remembered Moses and Joshua, David and Solomon, Elijah and Elisha, Judah Maccabeus, who was also a conquering king for the Jews. They remembered all these strong leaders who delivered the people and defeated their enemies. So it's in that context of that feast, a context of hope and expectation for a conquering Messiah, especially given what was happening in the region with John the Baptist, with Jesus' ministry. It's in that context that the Jews gather around Jesus as he's walking in the temple, and they ask him to clarify. Verse 24, so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus responds, "I told you, and you do not believe. I told you that I am the light of the world. I told you that I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I told you that I am the Son of Man." I told you, and you do not believe. Then Jesus says to them, all that I do, all my works bear witness about me, but you do not believe. And then he gives a reason. You do not believe because you are not part of my flock. You are not one of my sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they not only hear my voice, they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand. There is no stronger shepherd than that. Jesus looks them in their eyes as they say, please, would you be clear? And he declares to them, I offer you eternal life. I am the Messiah, but you do not believe. I told you who I am, but you do not believe. The people looking for a conquering warrior instead see Jesus, who comes to them as the good shepherd. A conquering king has armies that follow him, armies that fight for him. The good shepherd has sheep that know his voice, sheep that follow him, and that he protects. He gives them eternal life. The good shepherd leads his sheep into abundant life, guiding them into, quoting another psalm, guiding them into green pastures, leading them beside calm waters, and restoring their souls. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I am the good shepherd. I will bring you to calm streams. I will lead you to shade in the scorching heat of the day. The good shepherd is always with his sheep. He comforts them when they're afraid. He comforts you when you're afraid. He binds up their wounds and your wounds. He holds them and holds you when you're struggling. Jesus did not conquer with military might. He is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep and who was resurrected from the grave, never to die again after he laid down his life. So the people ask, are you the conquering king we are expecting? And he answers, I am. I am the shepherd of God's sheep. And then Jesus ends his defense with what we would call a mic drop. He drops the microphone. He says, I and the Father are one. I am one with Father God. I am one with Adonai. He cannot be more clear about who he is. Jesus declares once and for all, I and the Heavenly Father are one. This is the news that should clear everything up for them. But instead, we didn't read the next few verses, but instead of the next few verses, it leads the people to condemn him for blasphemy and to threaten to stone him. He tells them who he is. He answers their question, and they reject him because they are not his sheep. Let's return to John's vision from Revelation 7. And it's in that vision that we witness Jesus as the Lamb who was slain and Jesus who is the shepherd. One and the same. In verse 14, we hear that the multitude from every tribe and nation and people group are those who have survived the great tribulation. They've survived the troubles of their earthly lives. They've survived the persecution of God's people. They suffered. And now they are around the throne. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's counterintuitive. We don't wash things in blood and expect them to be clean. This is the righteousness of God. The blood of Christ cleansing them, making them righteous because they believe, because they are as sheep. By the blood of the Lamb that was slain, the multitude is redeemed and declared righteous. And then we read verse 15. Therefore, this multitude, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. The multitude will forever have shelter. The multitude will never hunger again. The multitude shall not thirst. The multitude shall not suffer under the sweltering sun. He will guide them to the shade. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne, we read, is their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. It's important to note here, he doesn't give them springs of living water. He guides them. To be guided, if you're one of his sheep, you've got to be listening. Otherwise, you won't follow and you won't be led. You won't be guided to that living water. He will guide them to springs of living water. In verse 17, under the care of the shepherd, God will wipe away every tear. When you hear that list of things that Jesus does for his sheep, it describes the ultimate hope of every living human. That suffering will stop. That hunger will stop. That fear will cease. That sorrow will cease. And that they will be nourished by living water. That they will have abundant life. Jesus is the good shepherd who took on flesh, who lived, who died, and gave his life for his sheep, and then who was resurrected and who was ascended back to heaven, where he is the Lamb in the midst of the heavenly throne, who is also the good shepherd for all who believe. The disciples, they struggled with their belief, but in the end, they believed in Jesus. They died for their faith. Some of the Jews, some of the religious leaders, and some of the Gentiles, some of the Romans believed in Jesus. But many did not believe. As we just read today in John chapter 10, even though the Jews in the temple had seen his miracles and heard his teaching and experienced his power, they did not believe. Seeing Jesus and knowing about Jesus and hearing Jesus' words, that's not enough. Jesus declares, "Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who's in heaven." One must believe in Jesus, have faith. To be a sheep that knows and hears and obeys his voice, you must believe he, Jesus, is the Lamb who was slain for you, and that he is your good shepherd. And I ask you today, do you believe that? And if you believe that, are you following that shepherd? Does your life exhibit evidence that you are his sheep? Does your life give testimony to him, the good shepherd, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, the Messiah and conquering King? If you don't believe, or if your life is exhibiting other fruit, you're missing out on the good shepherd. You're missing out on shelter and nourishment. You are thirsty. You are suffering under the sweltering sun. You are not experiencing his living water. Jesus is the conquering King, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, and the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I pray each of you today will embrace and believe in the Lamb and the Shepherd. And that as you go into your day, into your week, into each day, you will listen for his voice. that you'll hear it when he speaks, and that you'll follow him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.